We're going to turn once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to commence to read at verse 35 and read to the end of verse 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, commencing to read at verse 35. Let us now hear the word of God. But some man will say, "How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." And we trust that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to preach tonight on the subject, our new bodies, the new bodies that we will receive in our glorified state. Centuries ago, Job asked a very important question. He asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Now, in the previous verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul gives his responses to those who did not believe in the resurrection of the body. As I mentioned this morning, some Greek philosophers in Paul's day, they certainly believed in the immortality of the soul, but they did not believe in the resurrection of the body. They never imagined the body would one day be raised and reunited again with the soul. Some of the Corinthian believers in the church at Corinth also denied the resurrection of the body. And in our day, the skeptics say that when the body dies, that is all there is. And these particular people have gone through heaven, and they have told us that there's no gold there. They have gone through hell, and they have told us there's no fire there. They have gone through Christ, and they tell us there's no God there. They've gone through the grave, and they tell us there's no resurrection there. But the Apostle Paul, the inspired penman of 1 Corinthians, he makes it abundantly clear in the portion that we've read this evening from the Word of God that Christians will receive a new glorified body. And if you look there at verse 35, you will discover that two questions are asked in this particular verse. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Question number one. And then question number two, with what body do they come forth? I think that the closer we come to death, the more interested we become in finding out what type of body we as believers will have in heaven. Anticipating this particular question, Paul gives us one of the clearest and greatest assurances in the Bible that believers will live after death and that they will be given by the Lord resurrected bodies. So that's the theme for the message tonight, and I have three very simple things that I want to share with you from the portion that we have read from the Word of God. First of all, we have what I have decided to call the proofs of the new body. The proofs of the new body. Now, Paul begins his discussion of the proofs of this new body with some illustrations from the world of nature, designed scientifically to prove the resurrection of the body. His first illustration is taken from the world of botany and proves to us from the plant life that the resurrection body will have continuity. In verses 36 through 38, he focuses on the individual characteristics of a grain of seed. Now, if we had a grain of seed in our hand tonight, and if we were to take that grain of seed and dig a hole in the ground and bury that particular seed in the ground at the right depth, what would happen? Well, that seed will die, and from its death will come a new plant, or if you like, new life. We see here the principle of life emerging from death. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in John chapter 12, verse 24, when he said, "Except a corn or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So in order for that seed to turn into a plant, and then for the plant to produce some kind of fruit, that seed has got to die. And then as a result of that seed going to death, then the plant is produced, and then the plant will produce fruit. When King Tut's tomb was discovered way back in 1922, some seeds were found among his great treasures. Those seeds were planted, seeds that were thousands of years old, and within 30 days, plants began to emerge out of the ground. Every plant in the springtime of the year is a testimony to the resurrection of the body which God has promised to believers. So in this whole process that Paul develops here, the seed dies, and yet a plant comes forth which has continuity with that particular seed. When we plant a wheat seed, a wheat plant is produced. When the seed becomes a plant, we expect to find whatever we deposited in the ground. And the same thing is true with regards to the resurrection of the body. And one of these days, my body will be deposited in the soil. One day your body will be placed in the soil as well, and the body will decay. But in the resurrection, I am going to come forth again in a recognizable form, and you are going to come forth also in a recognizable state. When the disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection, they recognized him, and they declared, "We have seen the Lord." John chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. And from scriptures like this, I do believe that we will know each other in heaven. The Lord will give unto us a glorified body, but we will be recognizable in that state in glory. Therefore, we will recognize one another in glory. But we will be perfect there. Praise God. Now, how is this continuity of the body possible? I do believe that Paul answers that question in verse 38. Look at what it says. "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body."
In other words, it will be accomplished by the power of God. Now, if God is able to touch the cold, dead heart of an acorn and cause it to grow into a mighty oak tree, then surely God is able to touch the dead body of a believer and bring from it a new body similar to the glorified body of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. A day will come, maybe in the not too distant future, when you and I, as the people of God, will experience this. But in order to experience this, the body needs to be placed in the soil. And then, by the power of God, that body will be raised up, a new body, like unto the body of our glorified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the news from Paul is this: a better day is coming. Next, the Apostle Paul moves on to the world of theology and tells us that the new resurrection body will have adaptability. In verse 39, for example, he says, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of birds, and another of fishes." Do you see that? What do we know about the fish? We know that basically a fish is adapted to its environment. And that's why our flesh is suitable for life and civilization, while the flesh of a fish is suitable for life in the sea. We could not survive in the sea. A fish could not survive in our civilization. As Christians, we will be going soon to another home, a new home. And God is going to give unto us new bodies that will be perfectly adapted to heaven. And our bodies will therefore be perfectly suited to the environment of heaven. We could not dwell in heaven in these bodies, but we will be dwelling in heaven in special bodies, perfectly suited for the environment that we will be in for God's great eternity. And this is the teaching here of the Apostle Paul. And then, beginning with verse 40, Paul introduces us to the world of astronomy. He speaks here of celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, and he speaks of the sun and the moon and the stars, and he uses these things to teach us that our new bodies are going to have individuality. Look what he writes in verse 41. "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars." Now, we know that those heavenly bodies are made of basically the same material, and each one has its own brilliance. For example, the surface of the sun is covered with explosive gases. The moon's surface, on the other hand, is covered with titanium and makes a perfect reflector. The stars have an altogether different splendor and magnificence. The same thing will be true of our resurrection bodies. And this portion before us indicates that each of our bodies will be different in heaven. We will each have our own individual glorified body. We will not be like robots. We will be different. That is why we will be able to recognize one another in glory. I think of what Daniel writes about this in Daniel chapter 12. He said, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, as the stars forever and ever." And it seems to me that Daniel is telling us that life is merely the preparation for the greater life beyond. That God is preparing us for something greater. And that something is explained here in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is stating the proofs for the new bodies that the saints of God will receive when they are glorified. So you can see these things for yourself, the proofs that Paul uses here for our new bodies. And then we move on to think in the second place about the perfection of the new body. Now, in verses 42 through 49, the Apostle contrasts our present imperfect bodies with our future bodies in perfection. And he says in verse 44, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And Paul uses three words to characterize our natural bodies. In verse 42, he says,
they are sown in corruption.
Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that from the moment of birth, we begin to die.
Our corruptible bodies are subject to change, and as we become older, we become more aware of our age. And I think we all can testify to that truth. Our skin begins to wrinkle, our bones become brittle, our teeth begin to grow soft, our hair either turns grey or comes out, and then our muscles become smaller. And there is a reason why our bodies are corruptible. Stained by sin's corruption, they bear within them the seeds or the germs of corruption. And though we do everything in our power to preserve these bodies, some people spend a lot of money to try to preserve their bodies. Yet the truth of the matter is this: no matter how we may try to preserve our bodies, our efforts are useless. Because somewhere along the way, our bodies have begun to corrupt. And when death comes, our bodies become corruption. They first turn green, then they turn black, and then they stiffen. And there's also a terrible odor as the flesh decomposes. And even after death, we do everything we can to try to cover the body of corruption. Some people embalm the body, others put a shroud around it, others enclose it in a beautiful casket. But in spite of every effort, we are left with the realization that a natural body is sown in corruption. And that's what we are tonight. We may dress up the body, we may paint the body, we may do various things to beautify the body, but the truth of the matter is this: that we are sown in corruption. And we're reminded that we're all going down the valley one by one. Our faces are towards the setting of the sun. We're all going down the valley to meet God. And then the next characteristic is that the body is sown in dishonor. Verse 43. And that word dishonor is an interesting word because it refers to someone who loses his civil rights. And that is a subject that many people like to dwell upon. When a man dies, he is deprived of all of his rights. He loses his money, if he has any money when he dies. He loses his land, he loses his property, and he loses all of his personal effects. His body is put into a casket. It's taken to the cemetery. It's buried as soon as possible. That's the way it is. A knife. And then the final characteristic of the natural body is that it is sown in weakness. Verse 43. Although the human body is able to do many things, and on occasions the body is able to do unbelievable things, and has unbelievable strength and power, yet there are always limits to man's ability and to the ability of the body. And although our bodies are strong, a gust of wind can bring them sickness. A drop of water can bring them germs and a cause of infection. Then when the moment of death comes, our bodies are unable to lift even a feather. And the time will come when we will not even be able to take in a breath of air. And against this background, against this backdrop of our natural body's imperfections, the Apostle Paul presents the perfection of our heavenly bodies. He's going to change us. That is, God's going to change us. Things will be changed, and we will be given a beautiful, glorified body. Now, four times in verses 42 through 44, Paul uses the impersonal pronoun it, referring to the body. Now, atheists, they think that they can get some advantage over the Lord and avoid judgment, if there is such a thing in their eyes, by being cremated, when their bodies are burned and then their ashes are scattered. They defy God to raise them back from the dead. I read a story about an oral surgeon who treated many weekend accident cases in the early days of his practice. And he was sharing this with a preacher friend. And he told his preacher friend that people would often come in to the A&E from a car accident with their jaws all shattered. It was like looking for a needle in a haystack, he said. I would find a little piece of bone in one place and bring it back to the jaw until finally, piece by piece, I would put the jawbone back together. What will happen to the believer's body that has been smashed in a car accident? God, who made that body, is able to put that body back together again. And when the resurrection day comes, our bodies, which are sown in dishonor, in weakness, and in corruption, will become spiritual bodies dominated by the Spirit of the Lord. And just as that oral surgeon was able to take this piece of bone and put it into the place where it ought to be, until the jaw was completely made whole again, so Almighty God will find every speck of dust, and the Lord will raise up every man and woman, boy and girl, because God has been watching over the dust. And as far as the people of God are concerned, when that day comes, it will prove to be a glorious day. But for the unconverted, those who have thought that they have escaped the judgment of God, for them it will be a sad day, because God will call them out and God will raise them to condemnation. Two men were being martyred for their faith in Christ, and they were being burnt at the stake. And one of them was lame, the other was blind. And as the soldiers were tying them to the stake and lighting the fire, the lame man threw away his crutch and said to the other man, "Take courage, brother, the fire will cure us both." And the same principle applies to us. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and received the glorified body, his grave clothes remained in the tomb, as if to say, when you are raised in your spiritual bodies, you will leave behind every element of weakness and will never again be subject to death. Isn't that a tremendous thought? When we die on earth, we will never die again. Our new spiritual bodies will be raised in glory, according to verse 43. The grave, as someone has said, is merely the powder room where we get rest for glory. And Paul, writing in Romans 8:23, says, "We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." And God is going to redeem your body and my body. God is going to glorify our bodies. "We look for the Savior," says Paul, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." There's a better day coming, and that will be a most glorious day for every child of God. Now, to illustrate how our bodies will change, imagine taking a pile of dirty rags and taking those rags to the mill. And after they are washed and processed and crushed and pulverized into pulp, the rags become beautiful white stationery. And our bodies, like dirty rags, are going to be marvelously transformed and miraculously improved by the grace of God. And then the last characteristic of our new bodies mentioned here is that they will be raised in power, verse 43. The last time we saw the bodies of our loved ones, they were weak and imperfect. But when we see them again, they will be all glorious bodies. And that's an encouraging thing. God has been taking care of the bodies of his saints. He has been taking care of the bodies of your dear loved ones. I think of the story of Rizpah in the book of Samuel. She watched over the bodies of Saul's sons. She guarded them against the fowls of the air. And so the Lord our God is watching over the dead bodies of his saints, and he's making sure that not one speck of dust, of their dust, will be missing on the day when he will raise them by his almighty power. Thomas Watson once wrote, "The grave is your long home, but the grave is not your last home." And though death may strip you of your beauty, at the resurrection you will have it restored. Remember the time when David found Saul asleep? He took away his spear, he took away his cruse of water, but when Saul awoke, David restored those things to him. And when we go down into the place of death, we lose our beauty. But in the morning of that new day, the Lord will restore unto his people our beauty, the beauty of a glorified body, a body not affected by sin, an old glorious body, like unto the body of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will rejoice in his company, and we will be specially suited to enjoy his company for all of God's great eternity. As I said, a better day is coming. And when we are in that glorified body, we will be filled with the Spirit of God to worship Christ acceptably, to serve him acceptably, and to love Christ. And the bodies that we will be given on that day will become perfect mediums for full fellowship with him. We enjoy fellowship with him now. The command in the Word of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This fullness, however, is limited by our natural bodies, which can receive the fullness of the Spirit only by degrees, by the degree of their capacity to receive. But when we are given the glorified body, we will be completely filled with the Spirit of God. Therefore, we will be able to enjoy full fellowship with Christ. So we've talked about two things, but then we must come to a close by thinking for a moment or two about the purpose of the new body. Some people may ask, what is the purpose of our new bodies? And in anticipating this question, Paul makes another contrast in verses 45 through 49 between the first man, and the first man was Adam, and the last Adam is Christ. Notice what it says here in verses 47 through 49. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Our bodies share Adam's sin. They share Adam's body. And they share Adam's death. And one of these days, we will bear the image of the heavenly. We will bear the image of Jesus Christ. Now the first Adam, he failed to accomplish what God intended and became the head of the ruined race. But the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to become the head of a redeemed race. Do you see the contrast? Though Adam brought death to this world, Christ gave life. Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life." And if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in our natural bodies, then that same Spirit will one day resurrect us, and we will bear the image of the heavenly. One day we're going to be like Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ pleased God in all things. Jesus came into the world in a human body, untainted by human sin, and in every detail he pleased his heavenly Father. Consequently, God has determined to populate heaven and eternity with a race of people who are just like Christ. In Adam, we are vile. In Adam, we are sinners. In Adam, we corrupt. But in Christ, we will be glorified and given a new body like unto him. Isn't that a truly amazing thing? That God has determined to populate heaven with a race of people who are just like Jesus Christ. We can take no credit for this. This is a matter of grace. God was gracious to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the head of a heavenly race, the heavenly body. And as God raised up him, he raised up him as our representative. And we are in Christ, and in Christ we are raised from the dead to everlasting glory. We're going to be like Jesus one day. The Bible says, "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." God is going to give us Christians a glorious body that will be totally conformed to the image of his dear Son. A lady once brought to the great chemist Michael Faraday a golden cup, and she wanted him to test the gold content in that particular cup. Sadly, one of his assistants accidentally dropped it into a container of pure acid, and of course the cup, the golden cup, immediately dissolved. The great chemist immediately saw what was going on, and he poured a substance into the acid to settle the gold powder to the bottom of the container. Then he poured off the acid, washed the gold powder, and carried the powder to a goldsmith. The goldsmith was able to take the powder, dried it, melted it into the mould just exactly like the cup, and fashioned it a beautiful cup like the former cup, and yet an altogether new cup. And one day the great chemist of heaven, if I can use that expression, and I do so reverently, one day God, the great chemist of heaven, will take the bodies of believers that have been deposited in the ground, that have gone to corruption, and fashion them into glorious resurrection bodies when Jesus Christ returns again. We're going to be changed. We're going to be like Jesus for all of God's eternity, because God, in infinite grace, saw to it through Christ, through his work on the cross, to save us by his grace. But there will also be a resurrection of the unsaved dead. And if a man or woman dies without Christ, the opposite of everything that I've said about the new bodies of the believers will be true regarding them. They will be given a special body prepared. A special body prepared so that they will not go out of existence to experience all the sufferings of a lost eternity in the fires of everlasting hell. That's a fearful thought. That's a frightening thought. The moment you die, that's it. There will be no second chances. And as the child of God is raised up to everlasting glory, so the unconverted will be raised up to everlasting perdition. And in that body specially prepared, that man or that woman will be cast alive into the lake of fire. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And when that soul is cast away, we cannot even bear to think of the turmoil, of the agony that that man or that woman will begin to experience when they're cast alive into hell. And that body specially prepared to permit them to remain there forever and ever and ever. And I think even in this portion before us, the Holy Spirit has given us a glimpse of what the unconverted can expect to experience during the resurrection of the damned, lost forever. But thank God there is a hope for all those who trust in Christ. They will be given a glorified body, and they will be in this company, in a body specially suited to the environment that they will be in, to praise the Lamb of God forever and ever. We will never hunger. We will never thirst. We will never have a sick day. We will never have a headache. We will never have a neck or a pain. All will be perfect, because God will give to us a perfect body. And in that perfect body, we will enjoy perfection forever in his presence. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, for Christ's sake.